My name is Roland. I'm the international students and missions worker here at Highfields, and it has been a fantastic day where we've had this very special focus on God's heart for the nations, hence the flags. Now, very briefly, we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah this evening, in particular that first chapter. Before I read it, though, I just want to give a little bit of an overview, kind of put it in context. Maybe some of you have studied it a lot. Maybe some of you never heard of the book of Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah is the central figure in this book in the Old Testament. It contains his words mainly, but also other things. The person who wrote it probably also wrote a book called Ezra that addresses similar themes. And in chapter 1, we find out various things. One is his dad is called Hakaliah. One of his brothers is called Hanani. And he lives in Susa, which is the capital of the Persian Empire. Persian being the modern-day Afghanistan and Iran. Now, we know when this happens because the month of Kislev is mentioned, and the fact that it says there about the 20th year, which is the 20th year when a king called Artaxerxes reigned, which puts it roughly November, December in the year 445 BC. So the question is, why is Nehemiah a Jew in Persia? Well, to do that, we need to kind of quickly look at a little bit of history. So we know King David. After King David came basically his son, King Solomon. And then we had Rehoboam, who was very unwise. And because of a decision he made, the kingdom was split into two, the northern and the southern. The northern kingdom lasted about 200 years and then got completely destroyed by Assyria. The south, well, that kept going for another 130 years. The south is called Judah. And then it fell to Babylon, where basically the greatest, the best, basically, were taken into exile to Babylon. And then Babylon itself was defeated years later by Persia. And that's kind of where we're at, really. So Persia said to the Jews that were taken into exile, they said, actually, some of you can go back to Judah, can go back to Jerusalem if you want. And so some of them went back, rebuilt the temple, nothing like what it used to be. But that's kind of the state that we have. Now, Nehemiah's parents, they were kind of probably born in Susa because the exile had happened kind of a long time ago. So his parents had been born in Persia, which meant that Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. But he'd heard about God. He'd heard about the fact that he was part of God's family mentioned in the Bible. And so we have one other thing before I read the passage of Nehemiah. And that is, what was his job? What was Nehemiah's job? Well, we're told that he was cupbearer to the king. Now, does that mean that he was simply a waiter and he chose the best vintage? No. It was actually a very important role because it was a role that the king meant, I trust you. Because this person would choose a wine and drink it to make sure there wasn't poison in it. And so it was a very powerful, very influential role that Nehemiah had, unreserved confidence by the king. So he was in a royal palace, he was safe, he was secure, and at this moment, Nehemiah's brother, one of his brothers, and friends come to visit him in the palace. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm just going to kind of highlight some words that maybe you're not sure what they are. Citadel is a stronghold or a castle. Remnant is a small minority of people who remained faithful to God. Exile is where you are forced to leave your country. Covenant is an agreement or promise. Redeemed is to buy back, to be rescued. And revering is respecting. So let's read Nehemiah chapter 1, page 484 in your Bibles, or it's on the screen behind me as well. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept, For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed your commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. So we find out some really terrible news in verse 3. And in the handout, as Dave mentioned, you can kind of see the very basic outline of my talk. You can see actually what I'm going to be saying. In verse 3, it says this: the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burnt with fire. Nehemiah's response is in verse 4. He mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Now, the people of Judah were God's servants. They were basically Nehemiah's brothers and sisters. And Nehemiah's heart is broken by the news that the city of Jerusalem, the city that God identifies with, has been left in complete ruin. God's honor has been replaced with shame. Nehemiah has real concern for God's people. He has real concern for God's glory. He has a burden for God's glory. This burden leads Nehemiah to pray. And that's what we have in verses 5 to 11. Now, some of you might have heard of this phrase, the four acts of prayer, which are adoration, so the word acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And you might remember that as being a helpful thing. Well, I'm not doing that. So what I'm doing is I'm using kind of this prayer to do a slightly different one, but it's basically the same thing. Because they're slightly different but equally wonderful patterns for us to follow. There are five elements that you can see in the handout that are really helpful. I have found them massively helpful in my own kind of a walk, but also as I study the Bible with others. You can use one of them, a few of them, or all of them. So let's quickly have a look at the first one. Nehemiah praises God for who he is. Verse 5, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So basically, it is a prayer. Prayer is praise. Prayer is praise. Adoration and thanksgiving if you're thinking of acts. So prayer is praise. Second point, Nehemiah prays continuously. Verse 6, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. Actually, we find out that he prays for 4 months before actually approaching the king. But for us as well, prayer isn't a one-off. Prayer is constant. Thirdly, Nehemiah confesses his family's, and his nation's sins. Verse 6 and 7, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. We know how weak we are. We know when we've had a really bad week, because we always have a bad week. We never say the things we want to say. We never do the things that we want to do. We do the complete opposite. And so when we come before God, we confess our sins. Not just ours, but our family, our friends, our church, our nation, this world. Fourthly, Nehemiah remembers God's promises, verses 8 and 9. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. So prayer is remembering God's word, which is why it's so important for us to remember it. For example, Hebrews 13:4 is a great one. God says, I will never leave you nor abandon you. Or James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God's promises are there for us to pray back to him. He delights when we do that. Prayer is remembering. And finally, Nehemiah asks God to listen to his request. Verse 11, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. He wanted the king to let him go to rebuild the walls. Prayer is asking, the word supplication. And so from Nehemiah's prayer, we see that prayer is praise. Prayer is constant, prayer is confession, prayer is remembering, and prayer is asking. And it's interesting that actually it's only a very small part that is actually given to the asking. It's that very last verse. So tonight, as we come together to pray, remember we are here to pray for the very things that are mentioned in this handout. But prayer is far more than just asking for specific things. Prayer is praise. It is constant, it's confession, it's remembering, and yes, it is asking. And so tonight, maybe if someone prays the prayer you were going to pray, and you think, oh, that's what I was going to say, or your mind goes blank. Remember, there are many elements to prayer.